Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliette Shim speaking. I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast. The topic is a fresh start to 2017. Who doesn't need and who doesn't want a fresh start, a clean slate, a new chance, a second chance, a thousandth chance? Well, join with me and we'll look at that fresh start. In particular, I'm going to look at a new comfort, a new confidence, and a new chance. But first, I do want to say thank you to Ann Matthews, a former board member of Good News in the Morning. Thank you, Ann, for making today's broadcast possible through your generous support. I also want to encourage listeners to visit us at GNCM, that's short for Good News Christian Ministries, .ca, to learn more about our worthwhile ministry and how you can donate yourselves. All right, a fresh start for 2017. Did you know, friends, I'm so sheepish to admit it, but here I am recording this broadcast on January 5th, and I've already broken one of my New Year's resolutions. Ouch! That's embarrassing. Well, thanks be to God for His Word and for the opportunity to learn from Him as to how we can have a fresh start. In particular, we're going to look today at John chapter 1, and we're going to listen and learn how what's on offer here in the Bible is a new comfort, namely God with us, a new confidence, which is God for us, and a new chance, God within us. And friends, this beats any resolution there can possibly be. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. So, carrying on in verse 14, the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. All right, that's John chapter 1, just a glimpse. In this chapter, I want to tell you three things that are on offer. The Word, the Light, and the Lamb. Now that's all theologically speaking. Those are theological terms. The Word, the Light, and the Lamb. Let me tell you what we're really offered. We're offered a brother, a champion, and a savior. Tell me who doesn't need that in 2017? Let's dive right in. A new comfort, God with us. And then a new confidence, God for us. And lastly, a new chance, God within us. Did you just hear all this talk about the Word when I read John chapter 1? What is going on? What's going on is that the Word is a reference to Jesus Christ. You'll see in that passage that the Word is co-eternal, co-existent, and co-equal with God. You see, the Gospel of Matthew traces Christ's genealogy back to Abraham. And the Gospel of Luke traces Christ's roots to the first human, Adam. Now, the Gospel of John reaches beyond physical creation to state that Christ, the Logos in Greek, or the Word, has always existed. You see, in verse 1, we translate it as, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But a literal translation of that first phrase should be, "In beginning." Not in the beginning, in beginning. In Greek, the phrase has no definite article. Charles Swindoll explains the power of this phrase. He's saying, in the indefinite expanse of timeless existence, in a beginning that had no beginning, the word was existing in an eternal, infinite present. All right, hang tight with me. What's going on here? And why is this a new comfort? And how is this a fresh start to 2017? Let's try to piece it together. The first thing on offer is the word. Did you notice, friends, that the word is quickly called he? What? The word takes on a personal pronoun. This word, or the logos, is literally called he, and it's referencing Jesus Christ. And that's why we see in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh. Flesh, what's used here in Greek is sarx. It's used here instead of the term man or woman to highlight the humanity of Jesus, his vulnerability and his capability of suffering. You see, Jesus is God with skin. Believe it or not, in John's day, most had no problem accepting that Jesus was divine or God. They were more troubled by his humanity. Not so the case today. The opposite is the case in 2017. Sure, we admit Jesus walked the earth and was human. We just can't get our head around the fact that he's divine. But back then, no one could believe that if Jesus was God, he was also human. But indeed, we see that he was the Word made flesh. So what's going on? What's on offer here is actually a God-man. And I want you to pause and think, listener, how exciting is this? Now, we know it doesn't reside in Muhammad. He never claimed to be God. We know it doesn't reside in Hubbard, founder of Scientology. He made no such claim. We know that this spiritual enlightenment, this force, this divine presence does not reside in Buddha. He made no such claim. All of these people pointed outside of themselves. And along comes Jesus Christ, who points to himself. And he says, I am divine. I am the Son of God. So what's on offer here is a God-man. We get to see God in the form of a human. We see that right there in John 1. Look how Max Lucado puts it. I just love it. He says, here are some questions for Joseph. That's the father of Jesus. Did you and Jesus arm wrestle? Did he ever let you win? Some questions for Mary. Did the thought ever occupy your mind that the very God to whom you were praying was asleep under your own roof? Did he, Jesus, ever come home with a black eye? Did you even scold him? Did you even think, that's God eating my chicken soup? This is fantastic news, and it only gets better. I want to tell you one more thing about this God-man on offer. This God-man provides comfort. Are you hurting today? Have you had a really tough 2016? Are you in debt? Are you divorced? Are you destitute? Well, listen to this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that only a suffering God-man can help. Well, look at this. In John chapter 1, verse 14, not only did the Word become flesh, but get this, it says that he, the Word, made his dwelling among us. The message says the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. This is amazing. What this means is the God-man, none other than Jesus Christ, dared to enter into our neighborhoods where he'd be ridiculed, scorned, criticized, rejected. All of those terrible emotions we feel and might be feeling even now. What does this mean? It means we have a God that can relate to us. That's why Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every other way, yet did not sin. So here's the deal. The first thing on offer in John 1, which represents a fresh start to 2017, is the Word. The Word is the God-man named Jesus Christ. a God-man who brings comfort by moving amongst us. As Jean Vanier puts it, the Word became flesh to communicate to us human beings caught in the mud, the pain, the fears, and the brokenness of existence, the life, the joy, the communion, and the ecstatic gift of love that is the source of all love and life and unity in our service. All right, we're going to meditate upon that, and we're going to listen to our first song today. It's so suitably called In the Beginning by Joel Payne. Today, we're looking at a fresh start in 2017. A few moments ago, we looked at how Jesus, expressed as the Word, constituted the God-man for us. Now I want to look at how Jesus constitutes the champion for us. The champion. We need someone for us, don't we? We want someone who's got our back. We want a champion to lift our spirits. So many people these days are anxious about world events. And who's going to provide the answer and the solution? And who's going to bring peace? And who's going to be the champion? Who's going to be the Rocky? I want to suggest that we all have access to a champion. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." And that's referencing Jesus Christ. If you want a more precise and powerful statement, Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 12, How dare he? He said, "I am the light of the world." I defy you to find Buddha saying that or Muhammad. This gives us two causes for confidence. The first is that in John chapter 1, verse 5, it says that this light, that is Jesus Christ, this light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The TLB translation of the Bible says it did not extinguish it. And maybe the darkness in your life is heavy. But there's something greater yet, and that is the light that is Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 33 has Jesus, our champion, saying this: "In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." This is a champion we can believe in. We know he has overcome the world. This is what we celebrate each Easter. This God-man who came in flesh, the Word made flesh, was born to die. We know how the story ends. This Word that became flesh and dwelled within our neighborhood needs to be looked at through the lens of the cross. That manger has to be examined through the lens of the cross. This is a babe who was born to die. And we know that Jesus defeated death and rose again and conquered sin. We're told in Colossians that he made a spectacle out of the demons. So this is a champion we can believe in. So this light has overcome the darkness. But we can have even more reassurance and confidence in this light. If we look up the Greek for the word light, we got a couple things to learn here. The first is that the word in Greek is alethenos. Did you know that the translation of that is real or genuine? Isn't it reassuring to know that Jesus is the true light? That's what it says in John 1 verse 9. Jesus is the genuine light. He's the real deal. How many times have we been let down by friends who make promises they can't keep, by lovers or spouses who let us down? And along comes a true champion, the true light, in John 1 9, and it says he enlightens everyone. There's another meaning, though, to this word. F.F. Bruce explains to us that the evangelist John, when he was writing his gospel, had in mind here that the word light be understood ethically. It's not just that he lights up the room. It's that ethically, light here is a synonym of goodness and truth, while darkness is a synonym of evil and falsehood. This light, my friends, is trustworthy, and it illuminates us, and it's cause for confidence. Christ came into the world to be our champion. So Jesus is good and he is true. And this is great news for 2017. We need someone dependable, someone who's truthful. We're not getting that from politicians, let's admit it. We're not even getting it from our own friends. But we should have confidence. Christ is here for us. And listen to this. This light is described this way in John 1 verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. In fact, it's telling us that the life was the light. It's the life that produces the light that overcomes the darkness. If you think about it, Satan loves darkness and death. Along comes Christ, who is full of life. Death could not contain him. Death could not defeat him. He is the embodiment of life eternal. And that, my friends, was the source of his light. And so along comes Jesus Christ in John 10:10, and he promises this. I have come that you listener, may have life in 2017, and that you may have it to the full. In the Gospel of John, life appears as the word Zoe, and it appears 36 times in the Gospel of John. We need to pay attention to this word life, or Zoe. Jesus Christ calls himself the life that is the light of the world. Once again, I defy you to find another religious leader who makes such bold claims. And so have confidence. Take heart, listener. You're off to a fresh start in 2017 because you have someone who can pick you up. Life is on offer. Yes, it's true. Us humans are born with natural life. This is called psuche in Greek, and it translates soul or personality. But we do not, until we partner with Christ and offer him our lives, we do not possess eternal life. This is the stuff on offer by Jesus Christ that constitutes the stuff of a fresh start. All right, let's pause and let some of this sink deeply into our spirits. We're going to listen to another great song called Joseph's Lullaby by Mercy Me.
Go to sleep, my son. This manger for your bed. You have a the Father guard your heart for now, so you can sleep tonight. Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in my arms tonight. Lord, I ask that He, for just this moment, simply be my child.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning, and today we're looking at a fresh start, a clean slate for 2017. And I assure you this is possible, this is not a gimmick. We've been looking at John chapter 1, the living and active and sharp Word of God. And listener, we've been looking at how Jesus Christ offers comfort, confidence, and now a new chance. We've seen that in John 1, Jesus Christ constitutes the Word and then the light of the world. And now in closing, He's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now don't tune out. You might already be saying, I don't need a lamb. What I need is a tablet, a Samsung tablet. Or I need a vacation. No, we need a lamb. And no ordinary lamb, the Lamb of God. We spoke about how Jesus Christ constitutes the God-man. And then our champion, our greatest champion, He also is our rescuer. And if you were truly honest with yourself, and I'm going to admit it right now, I, Juliet, need a rescuer. Day in and day out, almost hour by hour. That's why the hymn says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. We are offered here in this passage, John 1, a rescuer. Listen to this. I'm going to pick it up in John 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made His home among us, and we have seen His glory. Verse 16, from His abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Think of all the blessings you've received in 2016. And then drop down to verse 29. The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Wow, Jesus Christ is not just the Word or the light, He's also the Lamb. Now, what does this have to do with us, and what does this have to do with 2017? Well, the key is what I read a little earlier in John 1:14. It says, we have seen Christ's glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And in John 1:16, it says, from Christ's fullness, We have all received grace upon grace. That means not just a little grace, grace upon grace. And John 1:17 caps it off by saying, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And isn't that really what we need a dose of today? In Philippians, he tells us that grace is Christianity's greatest gift to the needy world. We wait for the New Testament to find out where is the Lamb. And John the Baptist answers it. He says in verse 129, here is the Lamb of God. He says again in 136, here is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb they were looking for in the Old Testament. A Lamb in the Old Testament represented something fresh and pure to atone for sin. And what's so beautiful about Jesus Christ is he's both a lion and a lamb. We see that in Revelation. He is a lion that roars. How does he roar? He defeats death. He defeats sin. But he's also a lamb who takes away our sin. And so what's on offer here is a new chance, a new offer. What we have to do, there's one thing that falls in our court here. We have to come to God, and would you be willing, listener, to join me in just accepting the gift of God himself? Now, there's a small piece we play in this, and I want to invite you to do this with me today. The role humanity plays in this wonderful story that is Christmas, where the Word, or the Logos, takes on flesh and is born a babe born to die who grows up and goes to the cross for us. Our role, listener, and my role, is simply to accept this gift and to unwrap it for ourselves. This gift, that is the Lamb of God, is meant to be received by us. Now think of any other gift you've received. Have you ever turned away a gift? Have you ever left something unwrapped? Why then do so many of us turn away from the greatest gift of all? Why don't we receive what is freely given to us? Will you come with me, listener, and accept this gift? Trust that it's for you and it's for your good. This is the greatest gift ever. And will you unwrap it? Because here's what's on offer. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, to all who did receive him, Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Your invitation, listener, to try to do something a little different this year is not another New Year's resolution. It's not another to-do list. It's to actually trust that, hey, you do need a rescuer. His name is Jesus Christ. You cannot rescue yourself. You cannot get yourself out of this dilemma, which is you and I are sinners standing before a holy God. So I invite you to trust that you have a rescuer who will do the rescuing for you. And indeed he did on that old rugged cross.